Blog Talk Radio.
Why, from wherever it's Chicken Man Business Wrestling Restaurant, everyone has to make it tonight. We got the wrestle anyway. We got the anime, whatever. You know what it is. You listen to the show, probably. And now, you're your host at any time at the 6 o'clock hour. Chicken Man Business Wrestling Restaurant, everyone. Welcome to the show, Andre. That's you.
Hi.
All right, let's get the news out of the way. Coming this fall to Toonami is Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Isn't tight.
Which is interesting because it's another Aniplex series. So the comments are interesting on Aniplex. Is a post about it because apparently some people are like, does this mean it's going to be dubbed? Does this mean it's going to be dubbed? Yeah, it's not April 1st. Of course it's going to be dubbed.
Uh-huh.
Seriously. Anyway, that's how much time we end up off. Now, we got what's on here now. And let's get to it as it's time for a preview brought to you by TV Guide.
Beep, beep. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boom. Boop,
boop. All right. So, let's going. Get it going. And remember, Tsunami from now on starts at 11 and ends at 11 and ends at 4. So make sure to adjust your calendars just as quickly. Andro Dragon Ball Super. Accelerating Tragedy. Fantasy Universes. On Attack on Titan, The Basement. On Sword Art Online. Total World, Once for Us, Once for Open Table. Brooks Roll Down with Books, It Was So, With Rocks to Hug and Sears. On Loop on the Third, Part 5, Then I Got a Sprite and the Desert Dust. On Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma. The Past Wasteland. On Black Clover, Bad Blood. But I said it was Bad Blood. On Boruto, Every Generation Reasons. Formation of the Three Man Squad. On Naruto Shippuden. If I can get it loaded. Let's get it loaded. Because I had it loaded earlier on Naruto Shippuden. I look back into the early years when Naruto and Sasuke first met, a.k.a. Taylor. On Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, Advent of the Red Comet, Children of Zeon. I don't know why the title is in all caps, but okay. And on My Hero Academia, Rescue Exercises. That's your Tsunami review by the Avengers. And now on to the rest of the show.
Alrighty, kiddies and cadets, how y'all doing? Yep. We had some good things and some other things to talk about today. Of course, covering Funimation's Depot was very fun and enlightening. Our Franklin Pangborn is at the Satellite Center with a little update, including some things that we found out from the deposition. Mr. Painboard, take it away.
Well, thank you very much. Of course, one thing that we could tell you that's new was some of the people that Funimation et al. Want to depose. One is lawyer Nick Rakita, and the others are the girlfriend of Vic and Vic's mom, among one other person, Todd Halbenberger, one of the voice artists, has also been mentioned in deposition. So that was a little interesting. Of course, court was excused for the July 4th recess. But in the longest of all depots, some things we learned. Believe me, when we read all these things, we gave the folks at Maxwell House some stock. First thing we found out, that Funimation confirmed what former and present employees have said on Glassdoor. Funimation itself had no HR department. They sent the investigation to Sony Entertainment, who did the investigation, which was begun by Sony's Tammy Denbo, the Executive Director of Employee Relations. And here's something else we found out, Steve. Funimation virtually distanced themselves from the tweets of Monica, Ron, and Jamie because, and in Funimation's eyes, they're not employees, nor are they agents. They're independent contractors. Interesting. But they said no agents. Explain then how Ron Toye just happened to get all the info on the lawsuit and the parties they're in. And another thing, and this we found very interesting as well. In the deposition, Tammy had said that she had heard, Ms. Dumbo said, Denbo, excuse me, said that that she had heard from a former Funimation employee. They heard of a Funimation employee. I want to get that right. So the question is, why didn't they interview her? But deposition of people like Todd Halbiger, Vic's mom, and Vic's girlfriend will be very interesting. What's also going to be very interesting is the deposition from Minneapolis, Minnesota lawyer Nick Rakita. What are they going to find out from him? Maybe a recipe on the best whiskey. But it's going to be a very interesting continuation here. Judge has not made any decisions, obviously. That is because the court recess for the July 4th holiday. It'll be back on Monday. And maybe we'll find something else out as the week and the countdown continues. But one person, and Steve, I say this to you, one person attended a convention where one of the participants was Jamie Markey. Their exact words were, and we wrote them down here so we can get them accurate to the point, saw Jamie Markey. She did not look good at all. She looked tired, run down. She looked like she had just come off the airplane. Maybe she did. But you got to ask yourself this question. Throughout the testimony, you can find that on Shane Hornberg's site, all the testimony, all the depositions that occurred are on his PCF, Is that what they call it? No, not PCF. PFL or PCL, whatever they call those little documents. One question we have to ask is, well, actually, two questions. Again, how did Ron Toye get all the information? Also, a few other things like, just that in particular, but there are other questions we'll try to get some answers to. If you want to get the full scope and everything, including emails and text, et cetera, you can obviously go to Shane Holmberg's Twitter page, download them on Google Drive, and read them to your heart's content. But as we said, court returns on Monday. We understand that quite possibly the judge, Judge Chupp, may have his decision by maybe Wednesday or sometime next week. Whenever it is, we'll bring it to you. Reporting live from the Satellite Center, unfiltered and undaunted, I'm Franklin Pangborn, L2C, Media Network News. Actually, back to you. Okay, thank you very much, and we'll try to do better on some of this, but I do have a few questions, frankly. Why depose Vic's mom? I don't know. But we will continue to follow this story to its conclusion. The one question I think I have to ask is, with Funimation distancing themselves from the tweets of the three parties, could Funimation, under Sony's little hands, could they be ready to dump them? Or could we possibly... Or could one of them crack and settle? We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Again, as Franklin said, the whole shmeal continues on Monday, and we will have more for you then. Now let's go to something that's really good, really hot, and that is this. Since we do sports as well on this broadcast, let's talk wrestling. Let's talk wrestling ratings. Let's see. Let's go for the Raw ratings on in the top fighter of the Paul Heyman produced Raw. One. Okay, and the ratings for Raw under Paul Heyman, were they good? Were they bad? Well, they drew an average of 2.5 million viewers, up from last week's 2.2 and a half million. There we are. Thank you. Raw was number 1, 2, and 3 on cable. It averaged a 0.79 rating in the 18 to 49 demo, meaning 0.79% of total people that age watched the whole three-hour tour. This time last year, the July 2nd, 2018 Raw drew 2,707,000 viewers. The July 3rd Raw drew only 2.839 million. But the 2.5 million on the USA Network, That was pretty good under Paul Heyman. That saw the end of the PG era and a more, can we say, bolder, if not restrained, return of the Attitude Era, including the, I guess we could say, the sexation of interviewer Charlie Caruso. They got her to open big time. in a white tight top, and of course the one piece of kryptonite that makes every man want to go completely nuts: tight black leather pants. Now, how about SmackDown? How did they do in the ratings? Well, we're going to find out. Yes, we are. July 2nd. Okay, SmackDown. SmackDown Live, July 2nd. How did they do in the little Betty ratings under the baton of Eric Bischoff? Well, courtesy of Fightful.com, the ratings for that little show of shows was ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Come on, let's go to the ratings. Let's see. Come on, ratings. Ratings, boys. Ratings. Wow. Very good. Very good for SmackDown. As you know, SmackDown's USA Network appearances are beginning to wane downwards as their countdown continues. Let's give you the SmackDown ratings. By the way, SmackDown helped Grizzly Knows Best save Tuesday night. The SmackDown with Eric Bischoff produced SmackDown scored a 0.6 rating. This is more than enough to keep it ahead of Grizzly Knows Best, which climbed all the way to second place despite slipping a bit from an 0.4 to an 0.5 to an 0.4. It was not bad. Total viewers, on the other hand, oh boy, this is troubling. WWE SmackDown Live, USA Network, the total viewers, 1,890,000. A little down. In fact, I'll just say little ratings decline just a little bit. But the numbers don't lie. SmackDown is in deep doo-doo. If they were right now on Fox, the boys and girls at Fox would be having a schnizzle fit. But Tuesday's episode drew 1,890,000 viewers on USA Network, down from last week's 1.921 million. It was number one on cable for the night in the 18-49 demographics. It drew a 0.56 rating in that cherished demographic, meaning that less than a percent. Oh, no, less than 0.56% of total people that age watched the show. This time last year, the July 3rd, 2018 episode of SmackDown Live drew 2,013,000 viewers, and the July 4th, 2017 episode drew 2.329 million viewers. So you can see the decline from 2017, 2018 to this year. And yes, we all know it was a holiday, so of course the ratings would fall. But to 1.92, the numbers of viewers would fall. But this is a little bit of a tragedy for SDL. Bischoff has got to do something. Has got to get that magic going, because remember what the boys and girls at Fox said: if it doesn't stay above 2-3 million, they're out. And they don't start on Fox until October.
troubling, yes. Yeah. So let's get over to more wrestling reports, not from Pro Wrestling Sheet, but we got a big tag team re-signing with the WWE. They got Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson signed new deals with the WWE. They previously turned down deals worth $500,000, so they the WWE upped the ante, and boy, did they up it. Because now, as we all know, the club is back together again, Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles. This could prove to be a very interesting happenstance. Let's just hope they stick around for a while longer, this three-grouper, and be the core of a revolution for SmackDown Live. How did and Maria Kanellis does have a legitimate problem. When she revealed this past Monday on Raw that she was pregnant, it wasn't an angle. Maria and her husband Mike recently signed new 5-year deals with the company. Wrestling Inc. can confirm that Maria and Mike signed their new deals back in early June. However, they learned that they were pregnant only a week and a half ago. Now, WWE was aware that Mike and Maria wanted another child when they were offered their new deals. The company is apparently trying to make their environment more modernized for working mothers. That includes having a room for young children at their 4 major pay-per-views, as well as scheduled time off for family events. As was previously reported by Wrestling Inc., Maria stated on Twitter that she plans on working throughout her pregnancy for as long as her doctors approve. She also plans on returning to WWE after having the baby and getting cleared. Now, Mike Kanellis made his Raw return this past Monday night, teaming with Maria, who never tagged in and revealed her pregnancy during the match against Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Maria berated Mike throughout the match, which resulted in Becky submitting Mike. Mike was back in action on 205 Live this past Tuesday, teaming with Cruiserweight champ Drew Gulak and Arya Daivari in a losing effort to Jack Gallagher, Oney Lochran, and Tony Ness. So WWE giving Maria a little heat, saying, why didn't you tell us sooner, other than later? Let's see. We have an update on a potential TV deal. Yes, friends, it looks like Impact's going to be is going to stop being a pursuit and will sign a new broadcast deal with a multi-tier ownership called multi-tier owners of Access, AXS TV. And Jay, you're going to love this. Harking back to the days where Impact was broadcast on Pop TV, one of the owners of Access TV is CBS. Of course, the other one happens to be Ryan Seacrest, Brian Cuban, and 2929 Entertainment. We don't know if, now since Access, much like Pursuit, is going to be hasn't got fully the coverage on cable that it should. We're hoping that they continue the relationship that Pursuit, which is owned by the owners of Impact Wrestling, Anthem, maybe they'll keep the relationship with Twitch going. Twitch seems to be having a renaissance of late because they had some good numbers and they gave Twitch some good publicity. Let's see if they did have the deal. Yay!
Brian Cage reportedly will still be wrestling at Impact Slammiversary. And it does look like they are going to sign with Access TV. So stand by for more on that as well. Lars Sullivan, by the way, continues his rehab of the mouth. And we got one more little bit of news. Our good friends over at BN Television, or BN Sports, tells us that, if I can find it here. Ah, there we are. Just announced a new hire who will be joining the Major League Wrestling broadcast team of Jim Cornette and some other guy. MLW announced Georgia Smith as their newest Major League Wrestling broadcast correspondent. Smith will start with MLW this weekend for their Kings of Coliseum broadcast that takes place live at 9 o'clock tonight. In fact, 2 hours from now on BN Sports. Now, if the last name sounds familiar, Smith is the daughter of the legendary pro wrestler, the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. Her brother, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and cousin Teddy Hart are already well-established on the MLW rosters. They are the reigning MLW Tag Team Champions. Smith also has some experience that she'll be able to apply to her new gig, like stints with iHeart Media. Georgia has a keen sense for a good story, and those instincts will serve her well as she gives viewers an inside look in real time at the athletes' rivalries and the unexpected as it unfolds. MLW CEO Court Bauer, see, we talk more courts. MLW is excited to have Georgia join our team starting this weekend in Chicago. Now, here's the current card for the King of Coliseum. Filthy Tom Lawler will go up against Jacob Fatu for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Los Parks, presented by the sexy Selena De La Renta, will take on Dr. Wagner Jr. and El Hijo de Wagner Jr. The Hart Foundation will go up against the Dynasty in a ladder match for the MLW World Tag Team Championships. Alex Hammerstone will take on Davey Boy Smith for the National Openweight Championship. Marshall and Ross Von Erich will take on Contra's unit, Simon Gotch and Joseph Samuel in an unsanctioned tag team match. It's the return of Conan. Bastia 666, presented by Selena De La Renta, goes up against Mance Warner in a Mexican death match. Ray Horace versus Myron Reed. Loki versus Ricky Martinez. You'll have a live edition of the Jim Cornette Experience with Selena De La Renta. Ace Austin going up against Airwolf. And Gringo Loco versus Senshi. All the action coming up in just 2 hours. At 9 o'clock, you can catch it only on BN Sports. And if you don't have BN Sports, don't worry, it'll be posted up on YouTube at their WLW little enchilada. That's it for the wrestling report. Brain, it's been fun. And we'll see you all again next week. Hopefully, more fun, more information, and more pro wrestling. He's the Brain, I'm the Baxman. Bye.
Okay.